Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to the Hot Mess Clubhouse, a podcast that celebrates funny women. I'm your sexy host, Lucy Vine, and today I welcome the incredible comedian and actor Andy Osho as my guest. I love this woman so goddamn much. You might remember her from her stand-up and the many, many Channel 4 comedy panel shows she's done over the years. But more recently, she's been getting all big time in Hollywood, appearing in the superhero film Shazam and starring in apocalyptic Sky series Curfew. And more importantly, she recently killed it on a celebrity version of The Chase, all of which we talk about in this episode. We also get very silly about being a bad loser and giving driving instructors blowjobs and, you know, being in a fight that wasn't her fault. We also couldn't stop singing My Heart Will Go On from Titanic, so hopefully my producer has cut most of that. Sorry about it. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the clubhouse, the Hot Mess Clubhouse.
Yes, hi.
Are you a club kind of person?
As in like a nightclub?
No, I meant more of a sort of, like clique. Do you love to join a club?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the opposite of Groucho Marx. I'm like, I want in.
Just not allowed.
Yeah, I just want to feel valid.
Great. So to start with, we're going to do a kind of clubhouse initiation, get to know you quickfire.
Love it. Okay.
But there's no quickness actually required.
Okay. So I can take my time on this quickfire round.
Put full stops between every single word.
Great.
Okay. You ready?
I will.
Okay. Excellent. Number one. Are you a good loser?
Ooh. Like for a microsecond, no. Terrible. Okay. And then I remind myself of how ugly that looks. And so I'm like, oh, well done you.
I'm perfectly happy for
you.
I'm
so pleased for you. Yeah.
Amazing. Do you kiss on one cheek or two or none?
No, what I do is I sort of do an awkward leaning. Oh, we're not a handshake, hug. Yeah, I make it.
Oh, so it's all three.
I make it as awkward as possible.
Oh, that's really good. Have you ever gone for a high five?
I've been left hanging a couple
of
times.
Bad, isn't it?
Yeah, but someone showed me how to do a good high five.
Is it the elbow thing?
It's the elbow thing.
It works every time.
Right.
Okay, should we try it?
Yeah. Okay. That was such a good high five. That's like an American high five.
That would be a really annoying
five.
Sound.
Sorry, guys, but that was exciting.
Shit, I'm so good at this.
We're smashing that place up.
Shit. Because you do actually live in America, or are you over here again now?
A little bit of both. Depends who's asking. US immigration or UK immigration?
Neither.
Okay. So. Sweet. I live. I live a little. Actually, I do live a little bit of both.
Oh, great. That sounds like the perfect way to exist.
Well, it was actually quite challenging to figure it all out, like to start with, and then I just got into this rhythm with it. I think the first year that I was there, I came home to London, but I didn't know why I was here, I just felt like I should, and then I was sort of twiddling my thumbs for 6 weeks waiting to go back, so I realised, you don't need to come back unless there's something going on. Do you know what I mean? Unless there's work or something.
So, sure.
That made it easier.
Yeah, but London is still home for you, right?
Oh,
We've gone completely off piece. Sorry. So that was leading on from one kiss or two.
Oh, yes. Right. No, anyway. I'll make it
great.
Awkward.
Do you worry about death?
It's not so much death because it's like you're dead. But what I worry about is the leading up to it bit, you know, like suddenly I feel like, oh my God, all these years have gone by and oh, next I'll be 50, then 60, then that's dead, you know. And so my mind does that sometimes, and it's terrifying because that's you just think there's so many things I want to do, and then, oh, you know, I haven't been to Belgium and I don't know. And so, you know,
the only place you haven't been.
That's literally the only country in the world.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that I haven't been to, apart from the others, but yeah, Belgium.
All the other places.
Yeah.
Excellent. Do you ever drunk order stuff online?
When don't I drunk order stuff?
Sure. Actually, I mean, you're a human being.
To be honest, I don't. I'm one of those sort of nerds who's sort of really meticulous about ordering. Like, I'll do research. I'll actually read reviews. So thanks, guys, for anyone that writes them. I'll do a proper, like, filter, you know, 4 or 5 stars rated on Amazon or whichever platform you think is politically the right one to use.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and no drinking.
Okay.
That is a sober affair.
Spoil sport.
I know, right?
I have so many leopard print things in my wardrobe.
Right, and that's why I don't drunk order online.
Yeah, so smart.
Sorry.
Have you ever updated your relationship status on Facebook?
Never.
Even back in like 2005 when everybody was doing it.
No, I don't think I did. I think it's just been complicated for the last 15 years. I just left everybody, surely. Yeah, yes, frankly.
It's the only accurate relationship status.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, that's good. Do you secretly enjoy other people's drama?
From a distance. I don't want to be involved in any way. Do you know what I mean? But I do like looking on Facebook. And you know when someone's like really like mysterious about something? Like they say something's up, but they want
something. Such a bad day.
Right. I'm like, I want to know. How can I look caring but find out what the hell's going on?
This person I haven't spoken to in 25 years.
Right, exactly. Oh, hon, you okay? Call me anytime. You know that type of thing.
So then they always reply and they're like, I can't really talk about it. And you're like, why did you put it?
Or they go, it's fine. No, it's actually fine. And you're like, well, why did you put it on? You know, but anyways. Yeah, people's drama is great. It's interesting, isn't it?
Totally. As long as you don't get sucked in. That's the line, isn't it? Have you done any research into your family tree?
I have a little bit, but, you know... Nigerians aren't the greatest for documenting births and stuff. So, and just like keeping track of people.
Sure.
So I remember just doing a family tree with my mum, and she's like, there's just loads of branches with a branch sticking off it and no name, or I can't remember, maybe they're dead or something. So yeah.
Just make it up then.
I think I might do.
Have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah, one time at school, and it wasn't my fault. Because what happened, right?
Just started talking like a teenager.
Yeah, because what happened?
It wasn't my fault, right?
It wasn't my fault because basically she said something and I went to hit her, but I happened to have my book in my hand, so I ended up slapping her around the face with my book, not meaning to. Wow, she lost it. I went to get pulled apart by a teacher.
Kind of sounds like it was really your fault.
No, because she said a thing.
You started the violence.
No, but she said a thing, and even though I can't remember what the thing is, it was very inflammatory.
I bet.
And it was enough to make me want to hit her. So, and I did. Donna Hyde, remember that?
She's arranged this whole thing. Come out, Donna.
I would hit her again. No, I wouldn't. I love you, Donna. I miss you.
Disingenuous. And then finally, if you had to be a Disney character, who would you be?
Oh, well, I think I'd probably be a lion, the way that Disney treat black people.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I don't know if there's actually been a... Has Disney ever done a black character, like a human being?
Wasn't The Princess and the Frog, wasn't she the lead?
And that's definitely a Disney one, is it?
Yeah, Princess and the Frog.
When did that come out?
2009.
Huh.
They haven't done anything since.
Right.
Well, Moana and stuff is a bit more,
but
you
she's
know,
brown,
trying
she's not...
to be... No, yeah, I completely agree with you.
I'd be a lion, let's face it. I'd be a lion or a hyena.
Oh, that's
thanks,
sad.
Disney.
But you have now survived that initiation, and so as a well done and welcome to the club.
Oh, yes.
You've got a little goodie there.
What? Shut up.
I don't know. You probably think it's too early. It's 2 o'clock on a Monday to be drinking from the cans.
Drinking a can of
Bits. It is actually sunny for once in the UK.
Oh, my God. Look at this. A gin and tonic. Babes.
Right?
They're cold. How?
I just got them from Tesco.
This is the classiest club I've ever been in.
It's the best.
Yeah, man.
Because you've never been welcome in another club.
That's right. That's actually what it is. And my favourite thing ever. fruit pastels. I mean, I live for them.
Oh, so you're not really a chocolate person? More of the sort of
well,
the sweets in
there?
What have
we here? Let's see. What have we got here? Let's grab a handful because you've been very generous here. Munchies. Never had munchies.
What?
Peppermint Aero. Never had. Dairy Giant Buttons. Now, I reckon I could do some damage there.
You are clearly not a chocolate person.
No, I'm not. Like, Kit Kat Chunky, I think
I've
had
made a mistake,
one once.
Haven't I? Well, did I do well with the booze, at least?
Yeah, yeah. You did well. Yeah. Girl, done
great.
Good.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, we can just chuck the rest in a bin.
The thing is, with me and chocolate, you're not going to like this.
Uh-oh.
But I, again, can... I will eat one bit and then off into the fridge you go.
What is wrong with you?
I know. I'm
you're
an animal.
Such a monster.
I know. I don't understand it myself, actually. They'll probably make Channel 5 documentaries about me.
Yeah,
when chocolate eaters go wrong. Yeah, yeah, exactly. She'll probably hold me in her arms. Poor girl. It's not her fault. David Lammy went off the deep end.
Oh, I do love David Lammy.
Yeah, no, me too, but I just... Anyways, this is not what this is about, is it?
Yeah. So I do want to talk to you about your acting.
Mm.
Because I think... I kind of think of you mostly as an actor now. Or do you? Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have this film coming out called Shazam, which looks amazing.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Was it fun to do? Tell me about it.
So what happened is I was in a film called Lights Out.
Right.
And the same director who's done incredibly well, very talented director, anywho's, he got offered to direct Shazam, and then he kind of wanted to tie his film Lights Out, which was based on a short film he had written and created. He wanted to tie his film to the DC universe.
Right.
And there was this, you know, Child Protective Services role, and that was the role that was in Lights Out as well. So he was like, this could be a perfect opportunity if I get the same actor to do, you know, to be in Shazam, doing that role. So basically, I'm a bridge between two worlds.
Oh my God, you are actually completely key then.
In a way, it should be called Mrs. Glover, which is the name of my character. It shouldn't really be called Shazam.
Because, we'll start a campaign.
Yeah, even though I am in just the one scene, I still think it's a pivotal one.
Clearly.
But to be honest with you, I was delighted when I got the message from my agent and... you know, because you don't expect... I'm not in that world where people just offer me roles, you know. So to then get offered something, you know, as massive as this, I was just like...
You're clearly moving into that world now. You've done your time. You've earned your stripes.
I get offered weird things.
Right.
I'm not yet at the point where, you know, hey, we've got like a BBC drama with what's-his-chops off Game of Thrones. You know, I'm not quite there yet. But, you know, I mean, I'm just like, you know, dead grateful to end up in something like that. And... you know what's really nice about it, because I'm not a massive superhero films fan, but I love Black Panther, which is it's Marvel, but you know, that was really great. And so that started turning me towards them again, because they're starting to get, you know, there's sort of a politics to them now that's like really interesting. And if it's got something about it that makes it interesting, then people who aren't sort of fans of those types of films can still get into it. And by all accounts,
yeah, as well, now,
well, that's it.
So great.
That's what I was going to say. And, you know, Shazam, I don't think it's political, but my God, does it have a lot of heart and, you know, like humour in it. So that makes me just go, oh, I'm like super proud to be involved.
You're also in this amazing Sky drama.
Curfew. Oh, yes, Curfew, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Do you love an apocalyptic? Do you want to tell listeners?
So Curfew is about an illegal street race and a sort of adjacent London, like a present day but adjacent London, where there's this totalitarian government all through the UK that has instituted this like curfew because of this virus that has created these creatures that are kind of flesh eating rabid zombies, I suppose, for want of a better word. And so the curfew is about basically several groups of individuals who enter this race for various reasons, and it just follows the story over one night from the beginning to the end of the race, with a little bit of, you know, flashback into their backstories and why they found themselves in this situation.
Have you always been a fan of the sort of apocalyptic
sort of
stuff?
Very much. That's totally my way. Like, yeah, The Walking too. Dead was my thing for a long time. And, just anything sort of high concept that sort of, you know, is... just presents a different version of, like... It presents a what if?
Yeah, definitely.
What if there were flesh-eating zombies? Or what if there was this massive dome over, you know, a city or whatever?
I think it's more of a when.
Yeah.
How long do you think the human race has?
Before we turn.
Before extinction, or before we turn into monsters of some kind?
Well, I don't think any of us are going to be around, and I think we all know that. That's why we haven't taken recycling seriously.
Because those are my favourite kind of apocalyptic things, is when it really reveals how terrible the human race really is.
Well, that's what's great about The Walking Dead, isn't it? Because you see, I mean,
28 days later and all that.
People adopt, like, adapt, should I say adopt? They, people...
I just love adopting.
Yeah, I've just got so many
zombies. When they're about
to die. Yeah, I just didn't want them to be out in the streets on their own. But, like, people adapt in these shows. I don't know if that's how it would really be, probably. But people adapt to these things in a really strange way. And that's what's terrifying about these shows, is when you see that somebody has created, like, Negan creating the saviours and things like that. It's just like, God, that's scary, because that probably is part of the human condition to adapt to a situation like that and become, the me mentality override any sense of we. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
God, he's scary. Oh, handsome.
Intense.
Scary.
And that is another show that has huge, amazing cast. Have you spent much time with Billy Zane? Have you chatted to him about Titanic yet?
I feel like all he wants to talk about is Titanic, yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm sure no one ever brings it up. I felt like it was my duty not to talk about Titanic.
Sure.
Like, there was one point where there was an extra who was, him and Billy were talking, and then the extra started doing a painting or drawing of Billy. Because Billy, you know...
Naked, like French girl.
Well, that's it. Then Rose Sorry, Williams goes, she goes, yeah, she goes, draw me like one of your French girls. And I was just like, huh? Like, he's never... And he's an artist as well.
Of course, constant joke.
Do you know what I mean? If you're Billy Zane and you're drawing somebody, how many times... are people going to say, draw me
Did
like one of your French girls?
Smirk at all? I give a sort of patronising laugh?
Lucy, I transported myself emotionally to another place. I wasn't looking. I didn't want to engage because you never know.
You weren't tempted, like, on the last day of filming to just start singing My Heart Will Go On?
I was. I'm not
tempted,
gonna,
but you
I was
didn't
tempted, but I didn't.
Because you're a professional.
I have more respect for Billy Zane than that.
Sure. Damn it.
Just sing it through the trailer walls.
Yeah. And then run away.
Yeah. Who was that? That's so annoying. Show some respect to Billy. I hear you. I see.
Can you actually drive well?
My character doesn't get to drive at all. I was quite disappointed, actually, because some of the cast do proper stunt driving. I was, like, really impressed. But, you know, my character, Jenny, she's just, like, panicking and not... Yeah, exactly, basically. So I'm not a bad driver. Obviously, I think I'm excellent.
You can actually drive, though.
I can drive. My mum says a prayer before we...
That's not
drive
a good
anyway.
Sign.
Yeah, I sort of took offence.
Yeah, you
like,
should.
The first time I know, because she says it quietly. So you're just hands on the wheel, and all you can use like that beside me. And I was just like, you're praying while I'm driving.
That's sort of actually very distracting as well. Isn't
well, a
it?
Little bit.
And then you did crash, and
yeah, I mean that don't want to spoil the story, but we survived the crash. No, but it is a little bit disconcerting, and but she does it all the time.
Did you pass your driving test in one go?
No.
How
no, I think it was either two or three. I think it was the second time.
Okay.
And I clipped a wing mirror, but he was kind of...
What?
He let
Can
me
you pass?
Off. Yeah, man.
Did you give him a blowjob?
Yeah, whatever. Got a driving license.
Still counts.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was just very sweet. And I think it was the same...
How can you cause a car accident?
It wasn't an accident. Lucy, let's not exaggerate. How many billions of times have I told you about exaggerating? It wasn't a car accident. It was an involuntary nudge. Let's call it that. An involuntary brush with another vehicle.
You seem to mostly do serious roles.
Mm,
oh my God, I really love Kiri, by the way. That's the one I was going to mention. Oh, amazing. Was that a deliberate thing, or is it just that... Because I imagine... Oh,
nothing
did you have
I
to kind
do
of
is
fight?
On purpose. You know, you make it sound like I've sort of like, you know, got this game plan. It's not on purpose at all. Mm. It's, I mean, obviously there are things that I know that I do want and things that I turn down. But with Kiri, I didn't even, when it came up, I didn't know anything about it. And then I didn't really think I was going to get the role because they said it was a step grandmother, and I didn't really pay attention to the step bit. So I was like, I'm way too young for that.
No,
I'm just so young and gorgeous. I could never be a grandmother. And so I hadn't learned the lines. My friend came over to help me do the self-tape. I was all grumpy and I sort of didn't know the lines. I was like, throwing the script on the floor and sort of looking, you know, I just didn't do I did a good job on tape, but I was moaning in between every single take. And then, behold.
Just that talented?
I'm just that awesome.
Even when I'm really super shit, I'm still amazing.
I think maybe they, well, I mean, I know not to let my grumbling infect the performance, but like,
But if you miss that step part where you're a bit pissed off with your agent, where you're like, you're putting me forward for grandma roles.
Well, it's not that I missed it, but I wasn't, I just thought that even though it said step-grandmother, there was no way that they would think of me for something like that. There's no way you see that person who's done Live at the Apollo and go, step-grandmother. Well, that's what I immediately think of when I see a woman in a sequin dress on Live at the Apollo. So, but I am an actor as well as other things that I have done and can do. But, you know, sometimes people's perception of you can get in the way of... And I get it. I don't sort of, you know, I don't begrudge the industry that, but yeah.
So you do think you had to sort of struggle to prove yourself a bit?
It's not so much that. I just think people didn't think that that's what I was about. You know, they just see me do a lot of comedy. And so, and I hadn't really pursued acting in any real sense after stand-up took off. And it was only when I went to America and I started, like, really focusing on what do I really want. And I've said this before, that basically I found the comedy industry a little bit jading after a while. The industry, not the stand-up. And so I just thought, let me take myself away, have a little break, think about what I really want. And got some amazing coaching, like acting training out there as well. And I think that that's all that whole experience and the stand-up has served me well to be able to do roles like Curfew and Shazam and things like that. So I don't know what that's called, but that's what happened. That is something I did plan.
That's brilliant. And you have had such a diverse and interesting career, but I really, really want to talk to you about The Chase.
I want to talk to you about The Chase.
I super don't care about any of those amazing roles.
That's so good. No,
but
please.
The Chase was so amazing.
Oh, cool.
I was so blown away by it. Is everyone just making you be on their pub quiz team now?
I wish. No one's asked, and it's weirding me out. No, I mean, I have to say, I don't want to take anything away from anyone that does well on these things, but we all know that the questions are easier on charity episodes, right? Like, you don't get asked, like,
I didn't know loads super, of the ones you know.
No, I didn't either. But, like,
I mean, you didn't know what epilate meant, right? And I assume you're
is
super hairy.
Wait, is it something to do with hair? It is something to do with hair. I said skin, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah. I don't know why I didn't know that. Painful. Yeah. Because I'm just dead good at guessing, having an educated guess. You know, that's actually what it is. And so you'll notice that whenever I answer on The Chase, I always say, like, a question.
You're like, oh.
I'm like, Kathy Lett, Queen Elizabeth II? You know what I mean? Because I don't know. I'm just having a guess.
Only but for some of them, though. I don't think you should be downplaying your super intellect.
To be fair, some of them I do. But
especially because all the other celebrities were so stupid.
Oh, my God. Rainbow Crash. He just wiped out like a gunner, didn't he? I mean, stick to cricket, mate.
Isn't he a weatherman?
No, but Alex Rebus is a weatherman. Yeah, but he did really well. He just got unlucky with a couple of questions, sure. I think. But yeah.
It's all right to say they got unlucky when you've done super well.
Magnanimous till the end.
So gracious.
Yeah, that's me, that's me.
I mean, it's had like, because I rewatched it on YouTube yesterday, and it's had like 250,000 views.
Has it now?
Yeah, it might be your biggest role.
Yeah, it sounds like it is. It's a translated to acting role offers, yeah. Wow. No, but that's nice. It was, I mean, I think I'm the first person to win a celebrity chase on their own.
Right.
And I'm the first person to win two masterminds as well, two charity masterminds. So that's pretty cool. But again, your questions are easier. They're not easy.
I'm not buying that.
But they come on.
Anyway, I was going to say Bradley Walsh seems like a laugh. Did you go and like get drunk with him or anything?
Yeah, we had sex that night. It was so awesome. I mean, talk about the chase.
He's going to be on the Daily right, Mail. Yeah.
No, he was very lovely. I mean, I think he's professionally lovely. I think that's his, yeah.
Oh, so do you think he's a scumbag underneath?
No, I don't mean it in that, like, he's putting it on. I just think that he's just very...
Very good at it.
Yeah, he's just very good at being Bradley Walsh, you know what I mean?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I actually want to ask you, because clearly you're not doing enough, you've written a book.
Writing! Yay. In the process of failing to write a book. It's hard.
Where are you in the process?
I'll tell you what I think I am.
Okay, good.
I think I'm in the last push, but I don't think my publisher thinks I am. We'll see what happens when she reads this draft.
Okay, well, tell me, is it fiction?
Yes.
And what's it about? Are you allowed to say?
Probably not, but I'm going to tell you anyways. It's basically a chick lit comedy, and it's about dating, but it's about this kind of dating game that these three girlfriends play because they're having no luck in their own love lives. So they say, okay, instead of trying to find guys for ourselves, let's find guys for each other. Let's go old school. Let's take it offline. Let's go into bars, wherever, ice skating rinks, whatever, and we'll go and meet guys. And it all goes wrong with hilarious consequences.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying. I mean, it took a minute to get the story together, but like now that I feel like I've got, I figured out what's great about the story and what I want to say, because there's a bit of, you know, gender politics in there. There's relationship politics as well. But it's done in a way that I hope people can enjoy the story as well. So I don't want to be bashing anybody over the head with why are men like this and why do women, you know, it's all got to be fun. But I think there's really subtle ways of sliding those things in. Like, I'll make a lot of roles women where one might automatically assume that they would be a man. Like, if there's a small role of a lawyer or something like that. Or I've got one character on a film set and it's a camera woman, not a camera man. Because I think we just default to those things. And, you know, it's our own unconscious bias. It goes, all camera operators are men. And so I just switch it up. And I think that's the next phase of sort of representation and diversity, is just normalizing, because that's how life is, isn't it? Like, there are some female camera operators and there are loads of female lawyers, so why is it such a big deal to cast in that way when we're writing? And, you know, as a woman of color who's like gonna probably be at the sharp end of those sort of decisions, it's on me to stop showing how straightforward it is. Yeah. Or I'm taking that responsibility. I'm choosing to take that responsibility of saying, look, it's dead easy. You can just make it a woman, or you can make that person disabled.
Shocking.
Or it's kind of like have those people there because those people are there. It's like I say, like when black people are at home, we're not at home being black. We're at home being families and couples and arguing about exactly the same. Jeez. It's only when we go outside that we become these things. You know, we become disabled, become black, become gay, or whatever it is. And it's frustrating when, if somebody makes a choice like that, like you're saying, that it becomes about the thing.
Yeah.
like, this is not a band, this is an ad man.
It's to advance the storyline in some
way. Exactly. Rather than that librarian just happens to be a black woman. Or that, you know, do you know what I mean? So I think I'm rooting for that in stories. So why not lead from the front and just do that in my story?
So when is this coming out?
I don't know.
Maybe. I'm really excited for it.
Cool, thank you.
Do you have a name?
At the moment it's called My Friend Fancies You.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because my agent is Guy, and he was just like, okay, when I told him the title. He's like, oh, you don't understand. And then,
you didn't get it.
Yeah, my publishers, two women, and they were like, yeah, that's great. Perfect. Yeah.
Did you not talk about doing a memoir? Are you interested in writing a blog?
No, but that's why I've sewn in a lot of like personal anecdotes into this book. And I think one of the things I'm really going to enjoy once it comes out is people going, that bit that in the, you know, is that, did that happen? Yeah.
You will get that a lot.
Yeah. And then there'll be bits that are just so far-fetched, and luckily I'll be able to know. I did not do that.
So are you going to come back to comedy a bit more?
Yeah, I think that
if you've
there
ever
is
got
a,
time.
In amongst all of that. I mean, there's definitely other things that I want to pursue, but I want the book to be my, you know, because I just was at the tail end of the whole DVD thing of, you know, DVD deals and all the rest of it. And so I never committed any of my stand-up to, you know, to film or to tape or whatever. Right. So, and I was fine with that, really. I mean, I got the, you know, the sort of, the business reason for all that. But I still would like to have a legacy. And that at the moment is the book. And maybe at some point I will do a show. I think I'd like to do a stand-up show and go back to Edinburgh and do that again. But it has to be the right thing. And I have to find something that, you know, I just want to talk about. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a different person. Yeah, sometimes I want to tell people when they ask, oh, when you go back to stand-up, I want to say, that lady died. Okay, she died. And because it's true in a way, is that when I look at that stuff, I kind of almost, obviously I recognise her, the same one, but like, it isn't a woman that I am anymore. So if I do stand up again, it's going to could look different. I could say all these fancy things about how different it's going to be, and people are like, she's the same. She's just got different clothes on.
She hasn't got the string.
Yeah, her legs aren't as good, but she's the same.
You have amazing legs, though. Because you've also done the old comedy panel shows a fair bit.
Yeah, that's what killed her.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of heat around that being a white male clique sort of thing. But you did rake into it. Was that horrible then when you were in it? Okay, yeah.
You see what it is. First of all, I always say this.
It's a white male space though, isn't it?
It is, but I got into it, or they brought me into it, should I say, at a time when they were kind of starting to, people were starting to be quite vocal about it being fair. And so they were really sort of making an effort to make it a more hospitable environment. So by the time I got there, things were starting to change, the cast was starting to change, and it was terribly polite sometimes. I remember doing the, you know, when he spins the wheel and stuff, and there was a little bit of, no, after you sort of thing, and I was like, what? So, so I can't blame the environment. And also, you know, at the end of the day, there's seven comedians trying to get 27 minutes of airtime. So it's going to be a bit of a free-for-all. And I am grateful for the production team for bringing me in and for the opportunities that it afforded me. It's just that it's quite a brutal environment. It just is, you know, I don't know that that's worse if you're a woman. Only after the fact, you know, how the fans respond. But on the day, I think it's just as hard for everybody.
Yeah.
But like, you know, sometimes I think I did okay in terms of people's responses, but I've heard some horrible things that other female comedians have had said to them. And, you know, so that can be quite brutal. Like, so I know some turn off their social media that after they've been on Rock the Week. That shouldn't be necessary.
That's horrible, isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. So my sort of feeling about panel shows is more, it wasn't the reason that I wanted to do stand-up, but it was offered and it opened up doors. And so that's why I went down that road, rather than that, yes, I must get onto this show. Yeah. And I was really happy the day that I decided I didn't want to do them anymore, because it's like, yay, I don't, yes. Because, I mean, to me, stand-up is about a person with some ideas in front of an audience.
Yeah.
Standing up. You know, and I think the standing up bit is important,
right.
And they're not being six other people sort of trying to get to the
fighting.
Microphone. Yeah, yeah. So I don't watch panel shows anymore.
Do you still get asked though?
I had a couple of approaches recently, but yeah, it's just like they know not to ask because they can see I'm not doing it. The comedy industry
Hollywood
has
now,
a,
babe,
yeah, so. Exactly. So my heart so. Will
go on.
Singing to Billy Zane. Don't really need this. The comedy producers are very good at keeping an eye on who's up to what, so they would know if I came back and to know to, you know, to extend an offer if I was even stumping someone that they would be interested in.
Yeah, there was sort of a hot second where I thought the next sort of Me Too thing was gonna hit male comedians,
right?
I mean, it did a little bit, like the Louis C.K.
Yes,
and
right.
Was that something you were kind of following or
in comedy?
Yeah
I mean, I'd heard the stuff because obviously I was in LA, so I'd heard the rumbles about Louis C.K. and I loved him and I did not have any problem with just bringing down the drawbridge on that one, because especially his apology or an attempt at an apology. So I had no worries about that. Maybe I didn't love him as much as I thought, but but I personally, my own experience is not too bad actually. There was one comedian who, in fact, there's a few from what I gather from other women, is that who make sort of rape jokes about fellow comedians, like they're essentially rape jokes, that sort of thing. I think male comedians are starting to learn that that's actually not cool anymore.
Yeah.
There was a time when probably the female comedians, you know, because of the paradigm we were in, might have laughed along with it, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I think we also, not only will we not laugh along with it, but we feel empowered to, yeah, call them out about it, because before, the audience would have been sort of conditioned to find that funny,
yeah.
Even if they didn't in their spirit, even if they really felt
uncomfortable,
that something was wrong there, they would sort of almost as a reflex laugh along with it. But now I think that people are really having to be accountable for what they're saying, which is great.
I think for a long time, women as well, I mean, I certainly felt this way for a long time, that you didn't want to be the killjoy.
Well, that's it, exactly.
And I don't feel that way anymore. I don't care about being a killjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
I will cut your knob off.
Okay. All right, Mrs. Bobbitt. I think that what's happened maybe now is that women are starting to work together, whereas before maybe the whistleblower might be like, okay, sister, she did, you know, like, so now I think there's, yeah, probably more camaraderie, more explicitly expressed camaraderie.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, on the comedy note and the book note, you've talked on stage a lot about dating.
Mm.
Are you dating at the moment?
No. I mean, thanks for bringing it up. No, I haven't for a while, and it's
horrible.
Is it horrible?
I hate dating.
Oh, do you? Oh, I thought you meant not dating.
Oh, no,
I was like,
yeah.
No.
You're awful for not dating.
I'm fine with it.
Very anti-dating.
Are you?
Have you done that? You've done the dating apps and stuff, though.
I've done the dating apps. I actually did them quite recently.
What was your self-loathing app of choice?
It was a Bumble. I went down the Bumble road.
I thought that one would be better, but it's not.
It's not. It's as bad as all the others. What was weird about it was how often people would chat or match with you, and then you would, like, you know, send them a message. Nothing. Just tumbleweed. And you're like, what? Why did you just unmatch? Like, I think probably because I like efficiency. So if I'm looking at a list of people, I want to know that I can have a conversation with them, rather than I'm just going to go, is anybody out there? And they're not going to...
Well, I think the problem is that you're looking at it from a perspective of you have carefully selected a person, whereas from what I've seen of men on dating apps, they go,
until they get matched,
and then they sort of assess whether they're interested.
I mean, I haven't carefully, but I have made a choice.
You spent an hour and a half per profile.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but as a person who has got a profile, do people ever go, oh, it's you, sort of thing?
No, I've never had any sense that people have... Because the thing is...
Just because you're using just vagina pictures.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's the most attractive part of me, may I say. I've been told that, yeah. The thing is if you don't watch comedy and you didn't happen to watch Kiri and Curfew, it's very easy to miss me. So, like...
I don't agree.
Okay. My evidence is basically how many people come up to me and go, oh my god, you're Andy Osher, can I have a picture? As opposed to people going, oh my god, excuse me, do you know where the nearest Tesco is? The last thing happens a lot more than the first. So that's how I judge. There was a point when I was doing the panel shows for sure, where, you know, I would get people coming up to me quite a bit. And that was really fun. And I really like meeting people who've enjoyed my work and the shows and stuff like that. But nowadays, I'm very, like, people don't. And that's kind of cool too.
Yeah.
Because you can just kind of get on with your life.
Fair enough. Thank you so much for joining
What's
me
that
today,
question?
Andy.
Ask this one question, whatever that is.
Did you like being a kid? Like, how were your teen years?
No, I didn't like it at all. My childhood was awful.
For joining me today, Andy. And thank you everyone out there for listening. Please rate and subscribe if you have a minute. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening, you lovely legends. Next week on the podcast, we have the ridiculously funny Maisie Adam. Don't call her Maisie Adams. Please do join us for the fun. Bye.
I see you. Who is that? Billy, don't worry. I will sort this out. You just stay
in
there.
I sent a group email.
I sent a message to the WhatsApp group. I will get to the bottom of this.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.